Let's go ahead and get started. If you would, be turning to John 15, and I want you to hold your place there when you get there. Because I'm not going to actually start there, but that will be my text. But John 15, and I'll give everyone a minute to get there first. Okay, everybody in John 15 now? So if you would, turn over with me real quick to Proverbs 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now let's stay here just a minute because I want to talk about this verse. A man that hath friends, that is a fellow or a companion, just as we might say today, a man that has a best friend. It then says, must show himself friendly. It struck me when I looked at this word. You know, I'm thinking friendly, you know, you're going around talking to people and you know, that's what I'm thinking when I looked at this word, but I was taken back a little bit. The one Hebrew word translated into four English words here as must show himself friendly means good for nothing, evil, or to break or shatter. This is telling us that the one who has friends is the one that shows himself vulnerable. No good, broken, and in need of help. Yeah. Isn't that what friends do? Mm-hmm. They help one another because they know one another's faults. Yeah. They open up to one another. Mm-hmm. You might hear some say of an individual, they just won't let anybody in. They won't open up. And this is the idea here, that a friend is someone who you can share deep, intimate things with. We do have friends, and we are friends with some. When you become friends with someone, you know how to help them. And they know how to help you. Or you might could say, comfort you. But we as fallen, sinful men and women do this hit and miss. Sometimes we are there for someone, and at other times we are not. But then there is something else that is said here, and this all goes together. This all goes together. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
Let me say right off, this is not one of us.
Yeah.
I dare say that even most families that have actual brothers and sisters do not even stick closer than a brother. And I say that only from my experience of myself. We are fallen, sinful men and women, and we cannot do this. As Earl used to say, you lean on me, you're leaning on a broken stick. I just that just always sticks in my mind. But there is one. And this is not a question, it's a statement of Scripture. There is only one who sticketh closer than a brother.
Yes.
That one is who we'll read of in John 15. But we may not come to others showing ourselves to be broken and of no value, but there is one friend who will make it so that you will come to him broken. This friend sticketh closer than a brother. He tells us in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Those who labor, and that is they are fatigued from their laboring, they feel themselves broken by their laboring. He says, come unto me.
Amen.
Heavy laden, overburdened with ceremony is what the word means. They know themselves about to be squeezed to death by this heavy burden of doing, doing, doing.
Yes, sir.
He says, come unto me. Mm-hmm. This is that one that sticketh closer than a brother. Now turn with me back over to John 15. John 15. And for now, we're just going to read verses 12 through 14. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, yes, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. We have three things here that stick out to me in these verses. Commandment, love, and friends.
Yes, sir.
I do not want to take these words out of context. There's a lot more that Christ has said than these words themselves, and they do matter in this case especially. Mm-hmm. And let me give you some of those before we look at some of these things. And I may take some time this morning because I want to go through this. He tells them he is going to go away.
Yeah.
But when he does, he's going to prepare a place for us. Why? So that where he is, we may be also. Verses 3 in chapter 14. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
Jesus Christ says, he is the way. He is the mode or the means to this journey we are all in and will go. He is the truth. There are no lies with Jesus Christ because he is truth personified.
Yes, sir.
He is the life. Anything outside of him is death. He is life itself. As has been said before, he is not the people's way of life. He is their life. To come to God means you will come by and through Jesus Christ, or you will not come at all. Come at all, verses 6 of chapter 14. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is God. You will see God only in the face of Jesus Christ, chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He that believeth in me, those who have been given faith so that they believe him, they will do the works of Christ. They will do his commandments, in other words, chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. If you ask anything in my name, it does not say that if you ask and use my name, or that is say my name. It says if you ask in my name, he will give it to you. Mm-hmm. Verses 13 and 14 of chapter 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love him, keep his commandments, and he will ensure that you will. Because he will send the Comforter to you that he might dwell in you and guide you into his commandments. Chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom this world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Amen.
Jesus Christ will give us peace so that we will not be troubled or fear. Verses 27 and 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He has told us these things, those things which he is about to do in being made a curse and sin for his people. He tells us these things that we might believe when we are revealed them. Chapter 14, verse 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. He is the true vine, and those branches that abide in him, that is, bear fruit. They bear fruit. If they do not, then they are not one of his, and he will take away and cast out. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, and I won't read that. You can read that some other time. We are in him, and we get all our sustenance from him, and without him, we can do nothing. Verse 5, I do want to read that. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Amen.
All he does is because he loves us, just as the Father loves him. And he has done and is doing all these things that we might have joy and that our joy might be full. That means to cram or level up. You know, like when you're leveling up flour or something like that, it's all the way to the top. All that's needed. That's verses 6 through 11. You can read that on your own sometime. All of these and more than what I've read leads up to these verses that I'm about to go through, so that we might see what he is saying to us. So now we are here where we read of a commandment, love and a friend, and that is my title, my friend. Jesus Christ speaks of the union of the Father and the Holy Spirit, who keeps such a one as Christ speaks of until he returns. So let's look at these three things in this message to his people that Christ is speaking to us directly. Commandment, love, and friends. Commandment. So first, let's look at the commandment Christ is speaking of in our text. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you.
Amen.
I want to be clear here, the way it is manifest that someone does love Christ or does not love Christ is that they, one, hath his commandments. Chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. That is to hold, and it's kind of like this.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. And second, to keep his commandments. That is, they guard his commandments. They're eager to hear. This is not a Sinai commandment. These are the commandments of Christ. And if you don't think there's a difference, then I can't help you. In having them, and this they do by the Holy Spirit coming in to dwell in them, it's in the context, and his gospel, which they are quick to hear, they guard his word and keep it right close so that they can always hear of him. This commandment is that ye love one another. And let me stick with this part of it first, but it cannot be totally separated from the rest. But let's look at the first part of this statement. Remember, this is a commandment. That is what Christ tells us to do, love one another. First of all, he's not talking about loving everyone in the world. No. I will be honest with you. I have a hard enough time loving my brethren, much less loving everyone else. And that's not because of my brethren. That's because of me.
That's it.
And I'm just being honest. There's a lot of times when this flesh says to me, self, 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 or me, me, me. What do I want? What do I want is my thoughts most of the times. What do I want? My love is tainted with this flesh. I'm not saying that we should not, nor that we cannot love our brethren. We can and we do. But we fall. I preached a message on God is love, if you remember. How do I love my brother? We are told that it is manifested. 1 John 4, verses 13 and 14, we read, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." We love the brethren by speaking of Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't want anyone to get me wrong. There are other things that we do for our brethren who we love. First of all, if we see someone in need or know that someone is in need and we say to them, "Be ye warmed and filled," and just let them go on their way, that's not love. Now, I know some people will hear that and think of themselves, "Well, they did not do what I wanted them to do, so they must not love me." It does not say that they do what you want them to do.
Yeah.
It says you do for them that which is needed. And that can take many different forms.
Yes, sir.
But we are told to love one another, and it's a commandment of God. But it is manifested by testifying you testify of him, Jesus Christ, to your brethren. 1 John 4, 6 we read, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us.
Yes.
He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby, by what was just said, know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." If someone will not hear the record God gave of the Son, then they are not born of God. But let us not forget, we are sinners. We have this flesh, and we do not always see things the way they really are. We are at times worried about me, me, me. The Scripture tells us that the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Yes.
So let's not judge a man or a woman's soul based on our feelings about them. It may be true that a person for a time does not want to hear the record God gave of his Son. That does not mean that God will never give them life and cause them to turn to him. Remember, we are digged from a pit. And I'm sure when someone saw me or when someone who knows me, they could certainly say this, "He's a Christian? There's no way." But if you have, that is, you possess his word in you and you keep it close, that is a manifestation that he lives in you and you in him. This being so, you will love the brethren by telling them the truth. I know there are some who get offended because certain men say things this way or that way. Even if they're saying the very same thing someone else says, they just say it with a different emphasis or a different mannerism. If this is the case and some do not want to hear them, if you do not want to hear the truth of God no matter who is speaking it, then maybe what you're wanting is not really the truth of God. Maybe you're holding men in admiration. It is about the gospel. Loving the brethren is about loving the gospel and loving all those who love that very same gospel.
Yes, sir.
But let me also be very clear. How you love the brethren does not come from yourself. How you love Christ does not come from yourself. The Scripture says we love him because he first loved us. But we are told by Christ that there is a standard. There is an example for us to go by when it comes to keeping His commandment. That is, to love the brethren. That is what we see next. Love. Verse 13 of John 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, keep in mind, he has just got through telling them what he would do. He tells them that he is doing all of this for them. Him even telling them of these things, he says, is for a purpose, for John 14, 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. When he is crucified and put in the grave, then ascends to the Father's right hand, and the Comforter comes, they will know what it was that he was doing. Certainly, brethren can love one another, and circumstances come up that might cause them to have to give their life to someone, and someone would actually give their life. That may happen. But this is talking about what he would do. Remember, verse 12 says, "As I have loved you." Certainly, Jesus Christ dying on that tree, excuse me, certainly shows his love for us. But let's go back to 1 John 4 for a minute. What does it tell us in verse 9? In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. It is manifested by God sending his only begotten Son. This certainly includes him dying on that tree. But his love is much more than that. It is actually all that is involved in him being sent. He condescended. God came down and was born of a virgin. Christ made himself of no reputation. He sacrificed for us. And I'm not talking about that sacrifice, but he also sacrificed for us. And that was before he sacrificed himself for us. Love means sacrifice. It means we will give up some things to ensure that we will be with God's people and can hear his glorious gospel. Christ tells us to love the brethren that way because that is the way he loved us. He was the sacrifice for us on that tree. He actually gave himself a ransom for his people, his chosen people, the elect of God, Joe. If you hate election, then you hate the God who elected. Because it is he who chose to love a people. He manifests this love fully and completely by being made a curse and sin for us. He did give his life for his friends. How you will know those whom are his friends will be because they have and keep his commandments. This is they love one another and they love Christ and they believe Jesus Christ the Lord. So next we have friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And I want to first say that this "if" is not a qualification for Christ to be your friend. He is not rewarding an individual based on what they do. This is a manifestation that you are a friend of Christ. If you love the brethren so that you tell them the truth in all things, and you love the brethren in that you want to hear the truth, I mean, you are eager to hear his word when the opportunity arises. You want to share his words with others who are eager to hear. This says that it is manifest that you are a friend of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
But as we have read in some of the previous texts, he supplies all our needs.
Yes.
He gives us everything that we need so that we might keep his commandments. It is he who is our friend.
Yes.
We love him because he first loved us. We are his friends because he is our friend.
Yes.
The scripture says he is the friend of publicans and sinners.
That's right.
This is Christ speaking here in Luke 7:33. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil.
Yep.
He was a teetotaler, and they said, he hath a devil.
Yep.
Then Christ says this, the Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners.
That's it.
He was no gluttonous man or a wine bibber. He did eat, and he did drink wine, but he was absolutely righteous and perfect in all that he did. And he, not was, is the friend of publicans and sinners. He is the friend of publicans and sinners, is what it says. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he manifests his love for us in his works. He died on that tree in the publicans and sinners' stead. We read in John 15:5, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So that means you cannot love the brethren. So when it comes to God, we can do nothing without him. We obviously have faults, failures, weaknesses, inabilities.
Oh, yeah.
We are truly broken. But as we have read, there is something else that it says there in Proverbs. And there is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
And this is not any of us, as I've said. There's only one who can take this place. That is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, Joe. Jesus Christ, because he dwells in us once he comes to us in that time of love, and he indwells his people, he sticks closer than a brother. How much closer can you get than that? He guides us. He gives us strength. He gives us knowledge. He gives us everything, if it is anything worth having. If it's not worth having, then we can claim it. In fact, we own it.
Yeah.
We come to him with the claim of, we are nothing. Yea, we're even less than nothing. Those who bow to Christ are those whom he loves, and he is their friend. Jesus Christ is a friend of publicans and sinners. So if you cannot take your place there, he is not your friend.
There you go.
There is not one of us who sticks closer than a brother.
Right.
But he does. We cannot trust in ourselves that we will do this or we will do that. We must trust him, because without him we can do nothing. And with him we can do the works he does. We can do everything. What does our text say again in verses 13 and 14? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. He did give his life for his friends.
Amen.
Those to whom he did this for will be those who do his commands. They will keep his commands close and to them and look out for them. The manifestation of those whom are his friends, not the qualification to be one. Jesus Christ has already told us that without him we can do nothing. So this is not about Christ giving us a qualification. He knows we cannot do it without him. He wants us to know that you will know them because you will know them. You will know his people because they will do my commands. If they do not do them, this is not saying if someone will do them perfectly. They hold his commandments close, as I said. But I thank God that there are some who can and are the friends of Christ. And I thank God that he is a friend, even though I am not. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I need that. I want that. I am broken. Now, I want to read an article by Carol Poole in closing, and then we'll sing a hymn. Some of you have this book, and I will be glad to let, once I'm done reading it, let anyone borrow this. It's got a lot of little articles from Carol, but this first one just touched me, the first one in the book, and it really touched me. The title is, I Had a Friend. If you ask me today, how have you continued these years? How have you made it this far? My answer is just this. I had a friend. I never made it on my own. Have you not made many mistakes that should have destroyed you? Yes, but I have a friend. Have not many dear ones you love turned away and in so doing broken your heart with a hurt too much for you to survive? Yes, more than once, but I had a friend. Have not self-righteous religionists rejected you enough to stop you? How have you survived all the criticism, ridicule, and accusations of men? Just one answer. I had a friend. Amen. To have so many, year after year, turn up their noses in disgust at the message of God's sovereign grace, has this not discouraged you enough to quit? Many times. But I had a friend. Is this ingratitude, lack of interest, and unfaithfulness of many not a depressing thing? Yes, but this is all about my friend. When many as close as brothers have forsaken, my friend sticketh closer than a brother and has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. They forbid me to continue with them, but I continue with him. Who am I not this day? Why am I not this day, right now, separated from God forever and tormented in the pits of the damned? Only one answer. I have a friend. When the chief shepherd returns to set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left, if you stand among his redeemed sheep, there'll be but one reason. You had a friend.
Amen.
One that day, fleshly religion will have melted away. In his presence, all your professions, pretense, and performance will mean nothing. If you stand with the redeemed, your testimony will be the same as mine. I had a friend. You'll not say then, I did better than him, I did better than her, I tried to be faithful. I did my best. Spare yourself those words now. They will be worthless then. The only testimony of every redeemed child of God is this, and this for all eternity. I had a friend. Turn with me to 237, I think it is. Yeah, 237.
We have in Jesus all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what need because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord. yes, Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friend despise forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.